those who are simply having a hard time dealing with circumstances. And then there's another problem caused by selective preaching in the world, and that's the positive messages, positive mental attitude messages that just kind of touchy-feely and sugar-coated message, and people have unrealistic expectations, and the solution to both of them is the same one, and that's having a scripturally positive attitude. In other words, you're positive not because God has somehow met all of your expectations that you have set for Him, but rather you are positive because you are walking with God and you have changed your attitude to be the same as His. You see things the way He does. You stand on His promises. You believe Him. You have faith in Him. And therefore you have a positive scriptural attitude. And that's what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3, which we had read to us. Look at this again. Now, Paul, remember, this is the same Paul who went through beatings and went through all sorts of hard times. He was almost killed several times. He was chased out of towns. And notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 again. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had a positive mental attitude. Now I want to talk about that this evening. I want to talk about, are you positive? Are you positive in your thinking? Are you positive in your ways and your behavior? Or have you let negative thoughts creep in, negative habits creep in, negative friends maybe creep in? I want us to consider these things in our lives. Now, our attitude defines who we are. That's what Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says. In the midst of warning people not to go with those who are hypocritical, the writer of Proverbs says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." And so, you know, our attitude defines who we are. If we are thinking depressing thoughts all the time, we will be depressed. If we are thinking godly thoughts all the time, we will be godly. If we are thinking scriptural thoughts all the time, we will be walking according to the scripture. And if we're thinking about ourselves all the time, then we will be vain. As we think in our hearts, that's how we will be. That's what Proverbs 23 and verse 7 it says. And so that's where we need to start. What is our attitude and how can we change it? Or how can we be careful that it doesn't get changed in the wrong way? But see, attitude also defines not just who we are, but how we see things. Notice what Titus chapter 1 and verse 15 says. Paul is telling this young man who helps him, he's giving him this, laying down this principle for him that it will help us also. It's, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled." And so, to the pure, all things are pure. Does that mean, you know, that they are somehow living in some sort of fool's paradise? It's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying that our attitude guides our attitude guides the way we see things. You know, you ever see how do one of those exercises at work or something where something is said and the reactions are asked of different people, and it'll be the exact same thing that is said, and you'll have a wide range of reactions to this statement. Some people will have a good view on it, and some people will have a horrible view on it. It's because the statement hasn't changed. The statement is the same, but it's painted the way they see it by how their minds are, what their attitude is. You could give somebody a raise, and somebody will be real happy about the fact that they got a raise, and somebody else will be all complaining because I just got no good lousy raise that they can't do anything with it or whatever. Our attitudes defines not only who we are, but how we see things. Things that come into our lives. Different people will see things in a different way. If you have a lousy attitude, you're gonna see things in a lousy way, and it's not gonna help you a lot. But the third thing is our attitude also defines how we react to challenges. Notice, go with me if you will, to Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And I want us to kind of stay there once we read that, because we're going to be going back to Numbers in a moment. But notice in Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, where we read, it says, For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And so we see the Gentiles had heard about what had happened, and they understood. And what happened was that their hearts were melted. She said, and there just wasn't any fight. They could see that there wasn't going to be any use for any way to oppose God. Now think about that. The Gentiles are seeing this situation, and they're saying they've got God on their side, Almighty God, and there's no sense even fighting. The way they beat Sihon, and the way they beat Og, the way God dried up the waters in front of them when they left Egypt, there's no way we can fight these guys, and their hearts were melted before them. But it helped them as they were going into the Promised Land to have people who were already defeated in their own eyes. They had seen what had happened, but it wasn't one generation before that the Jews, who had seen the exact same thing, who had gone through the exact same parting of the Red Sea, had a negative attitude about it. And so they didn't get any of the benefits that were happening. The exact same thing that other people were seeing, and how much God was helping them, they weren't seeing. And they weren't trusting in God. There are dangers to negative attitudes. This exact same thing that is being referenced here in Joshua chapter 2 is the exact same thing that is we're going to be talking about in reference to the 12 spies of Israel. They had just crossed the Red Sea. God had opened up the Red Sea for them. They had crossed over on dry ground. The sea was on both sides of them. They could see into there. They crossed on dry land. When Pharaoh chased them, God closed it up and killed Pharaoh's army. They didn't trust God. They forgot about it. They still had a negative attitude. Notice in Numbers chapter 13, verse 31, God had told them, He says, go into the land. This is the land I promised you, the land of milk and honey. I want you to go in there, and I want you to conquer them. I will be with you. The same God who just opposed Pharaoh, who just defeated Pharaoh for you, the one who fought for you and the one who separated the waters, I will be there with you, and I will defeat these guys too. Now these guys, so they sent the 12 spies of Israel into the land. And in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 31, we read that they come back with a report. And verse 31 says, and when the men, when the men that had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there are we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. And so they had the wrong attitude. Their attitude was, we can't defeat them. God had just demonstrated that they could defeat them with God on their side, but they had the wrong attitude because they didn't believe. Now, what happens when you have a negative attitude is that you oftentimes not only are discouraged yourself, but you discourage those round about you. If you'll notice, going all the way through chapter 14, verse 4, it says, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Now, these guys would have been ready, and I have no doubt that they would have had a lot more courage had they listened to the two spies that told them that it could be done, but they didn't. They listened to the ones who had a negative attitude, and what that did was that it discouraged the rest of Israel. In chapter 32, verses 7 through 9, they are reminded of what had happened so many years ago by that time. They are reminded of exactly what happened, and that it had been a negative attitude that they had, and it was the cause of their problems. Well, what happens is that, keep your hands here and go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 26 through 32. It's just a few pages farther back. And Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 26 through 32, it says, yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents, because the Lord hated us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers, have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God. What happens is that this disbelief, the bad attitude that the spies had, they passed on to the Israelites, to the congregation. And then what happened is that led to unbelief, and it led to complaining, and finally it led to rebellion against God. Brethren, don't underestimate a bad attitude, because it never, ever, ever stays with one person. It always always finds a way to stain the people that are round about that person. You have to have a good attitude, and we're going to talk about how do you get a good attitude. But now let's go back to Numbers chapter 14, and then we'll be done with this section. Go back to Numbers chapter 14, and I want us to go to verses 26. Well, we're not going to read that whole section, but in Numbers chapter 14, and the section is from 26 to 38. But what it did was it ultimately led to many dying. in the wilderness. God says, because they rebelled against God, God says that everybody that was of counting age, the ones that were counted, those that were adults, 20 and over, would die. They used their children as an excuse to disobey God, to rebel against God. And what God says was that all of you guys that are 20 and over, you will die in the wilderness. For 40 years, you will travel in the wilderness. Everybody will die, and only those children that you use as an excuse, they will go into the promised land. And so ultimately, what happened was that 10 spies who had a negative attitude contaminated the congregation, and those people and the congregation ultimately died in the wilderness, anybody who was 20 and over. All that could have been avoided had the 10 spies had a better attitude, or had they kept it to themselves, or had the congregation not listened to them. But it's never enough when somebody has a bad attitude. They always are much more vocal than somebody who has a good attitude, it seems like. On the other hand, a positive attitude has a great deal of value. Let's use the example of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem when they came back after the captivity. And that's found in Nehemiah. And just three passages I want to look at in Nehemiah. But you see the complete difference, the complete attitude, difference in the attitude of the people in Nehemiah's day as opposed to the people in the day of the spies when they had come out of Egypt. And that's in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says that the people had a mind to work. That was their attitude. Their attitude was that they were going to go there and they were going to work. They were going to get this job done. It was something that needed to be done and something they were going to do. It says, so we built the walls and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And because they did, what happened was that they don't think that Satan wasn't busy among them too, because in chapter 4, the first three verses, we see that they had to overcome ridicule from their enemies. 1-3 says, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that? And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yeah, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. And so they were being jeered at, they were being ridiculed, but they had an attitude to work. They had an attitude, a mind, that they were going to do the will of God, that they were going to go and they weren't going to listen to the bad attitude. And so they rebuilt the walls. Notice in chapter 6 and verse 15 of Nehemiah, in chapter 6, in verses, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. In less than 2 months, it was built. The wall was built. Why? Because they had a mind to work. They had a positive attitude, and nobody, they were not going to allow anybody. Brethren, we need to have a mind like that. A mind that trusts God. A mind that won't listen to people, the naysayers, and the people who tell us that it can't be done. A mind that is willing to move forward and with trust in God. We need to recognize the value of a positive attitude. It's a positive attitude is not a one-time deal. It's something that must be maintained. When we get to a positive attitude, rest assured that Satan is going to try to change that for you. But we have to choose to have a positive attitude. Again, I want you to understand that this is not talking about, what a lot of denominations talk about, you know, the positive mental attitude where, you know, if you claim it, you will have it, or whatever it is that they say. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one that's based on rock solid, on the trust of God, on the promises that He has given us, and that that we have faith in God, that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him, as Hebrews chapter 11 says. We can control our attitude and our mood. We can do that. God expects us to. Now, we may not be able to control our circumstances. We may not be able to control how our neighbors and people round about us to the degree that we want to, but we can control our attitude and our mind. We can control our reaction to them. We can reject that which is unpleasing to God, and we can be edified by that which is pleasing to God. Even when times are hard, we can control that. Our reaction to these things. Let's look at a few passages. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, God commands that we have the proper attitude. God commands us to have a positive mental attitude when things come our way. Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James says, count it all joy. It doesn't say anything about grumble with all joy. It doesn't say anything in there about count it all joy when everything is going well in your life. Well, he says when you go through all sorts of trials, when things are not going your way, you still maintain a positive attitude. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul is saying pretty much the same thing in a different way, but he's saying a real similar thing. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Notice how Paul says it. He says, I know I have a verse 3 here. Okay. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He says, what does he say there? We rejoice in our sufferings. Now, if you couldn't control it, your attitude, there's no way you could rejoice in your sufferings. Suffering is not something that's good. But what Paul says is you look beyond. He says you rejoice in your suffering. Not just when things are going good, but when things are going bad also. Notice in chapter 12 and verse 12 of Romans, Paul goes on to say, he says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. It's the hope that causes us to rejoice. We have that hope. That's how we can control it, because we're not focusing on the problem, on the tribulation. We're patiently going through that, but our mind is on the hope that is within us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Paul says to the Philippians, he says, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Even if I'm being poured up as a drink offering, even if I have to die, I rejoice for you guys. And I think you guys should join me in rejoicing. And so we can have a positive mental attitude, maintain it, regardless of what the circumstances are. You say, well, you know, Ray, you don't know what's going on in my life. No, I don't. And I mean, if you tell me, I will know. But that's going off on a whole different tangent. But guess what? whatever's going on, God knows. And God says, you can maintain a positive mental attitude even in those situations. One thing that we need to do, I touched on, I want to make four suggestions on that, is that we block out that negativity. Now, I'm not saying, I want to repeat this, I'm not saying that we cease to, you know, believe that anything negative is happening in our life. Not that we live in some kind of Pollyanna-type world or something like that. I'm saying that you block out that negative. You don't let it into your attitude. All right? You realize that these things are happening, but you're going to control your attitude. You avoid negative self-talk. You start with yourself. Stop saying things that are negative. Don't be like those spies in ancient Israel. Don't be like them who defeated themselves before they ever got to the promised land. People who say, "I just can't do that. Oh, I just can't do something like that." You've defeated yourself because now you're not even going to try. You're not going to be able to do it. The self-fulfilling prophecy, because you said that you had the wrong attitude to begin with. You say, "Oh, that's too hard." That sounds an awful lot like the phrases that were being used by the ten spies. It can't be done. We can't do it. We shouldn't even try. That's negative self-talk, and we need to avoid that, not defeating ourselves. But the second thing is that we need to remind ourselves that it is God who is working with us, that we have God on our side. Notice Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, and then jumping over a couple of chapters, chapter 4 and verse 13. In 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now, you say, "I can't do it." Can God do it? Are you saying that God can't do it either? Because it's God who's working in you. And notice in chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." I can do all things. Now, how much can't you do with God's help? Maybe you can't do it yourself, but how much can you not do when God is in you and working through you and helping you? I dare say that if that doesn't give you a positive attitude, then you've got some serious, serious problems with your attitude that you need to work with. But it's not just the basis that God is with you, but the promise that Galatians chapter 7, chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, Paul says that whatsoever we reap, that will we sow. He said that if you don't get tired, doing good to all people, you will reap. You will reap the benefits of that. And so even though you may not see the benefits right now, there are benefits and you will reap those benefits. But if you don't get tired, if you don't stop, if you maintain a positive mental attitude, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, Paul is telling Timothy basically the same thing, that we work now and we're going to get the results. They will come. They may not come this minute, but they'll come. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, Paul tells the Corinthians, "For our labor is not in vain." We may not see the results. We may not see the benefits of it all, but it is there. They are there. They will come. God has said so because He's going to work on it. You know, Paul didn't have that problem. He told the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "You know what? I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase." You know, he would stay in one place and he would work, and then he would go off to another place, and he wouldn't see the results, all the results of his labors there. Somebody else would come, and they would have to work that also with those people. But it was always God who gave. It was never wasted effort. Paul had a good attitude, and he blocked out the negativity. "Oh, just because I don't see the results of the effort doesn't mean that there weren't any. It just means that I wasn't there long enough." But the third thing that we need to do is not just avoid negative thoughts, avoid negative people. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." And that's exactly true. You hang around with people who are negative, you're going to become negative. It's going to happen. God warns us that it's going to happen. "Do not be deceived," He says. "Bad company corrupts good morals." And so you hang around with people who don't believe in Christianity or who don't believe in serving God to the maximum effort. You hang around with people who don't believe positive things about our spiritual life. And guess what? You're going to start behaving just like them. You need to get rid of those toxic people in your school of friends. People who are bringing you down. Yeah, sometimes I hear Christians say, well, you know what? Somebody's got to be a light to them. Brethren, if you are unequally yoked with them, if they are being darkness to you, you need to break that off. Let somebody else go and be light to them because they're overwhelming you with their darkness. You need to stop. You need to cut them off and pray for them that somebody comes into their life that will be light to them. If you cannot do it, if you're trying and trying and you're just not strong enough at this time, that's a goal you want to strive for, but right now you need to get rid of the negative influence in your life. It will corrupt you. And so you surround yourself then. You never just live in a vacuum. What you do is you surround yourself with positive people. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. In the very verse right before, it says that we are to not forsake the assembling of one another. But he says in verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. One another. We want to be surrounded. We want to be with people who can encourage us. And we in turn can encourage them. Because being positive with them and them being positive with you will build both of you up. It will edify both of you. But being around negative people will just bring you down. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, it talks about Barnabas. You know, his name was not Barnabas. His name was Joseph. That was his given name, Joseph. But he was called Barnabas. Barnabas meant the encourager, or the encouraging one, because he encouraged people. We see him encouraging them here in Acts chapter 4. We see later on how he encourages the brethren when Paul wants to come together with them and they're hesitant about that. We see later when Paul has a problem with John Mark and he tries to encourage them to come together in there. He was called the encourager. He was called Barnabas. But that wasn't his name. That's what he did. That's what he was known for among the brethren as being an encouragement. And so they called him Barnabas, the encouraging. But his name was Joseph. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18, Paul tells the Corinthians about two people that have been an encouragement to him. And notice 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. These people were an encouragement to Paul and to the Corinthians. These were people who Paul could commend to people because they were encouraging. That's the type of people that we should be hanging around, that we should surround ourselves with. If you want to have a positive mental attitude, a Christian attitude, then you need to be with people. It always surprises me when I see Christians that have the attitude, well, I don't want to assemble. Too much of work to assemble with the brethren. Where are you getting your batteries recharged? Where? In the world? They're not recharging anything. They're sucking the life out of you. Where are you getting your batteries recharged? I dare say that you're not, and that you're getting used to it. And that's why it sometimes is difficult for you to assemble. You should be leaving the assembly recharged. And if you're not, it's not because God's power isn't there. It's because you have a problem with your attitude that you are not getting the encouragement that you should be getting. focus on heaven. Notice what Jesus did in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Hebrew writer says that he was able to overcome all the problems. The crucifixion. Brethren, we don't have to go through anything like the crucifixion. And he went through it because he set his mind beyond. He set his mind on heaven, on the other side of the problems that he was going through. And that sets an example for us when we're going through trials and tribulations. We need to see what's going to happen on the other side. And we need to think about those types of things. That's how he got through it. Paul, we already read to us Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. He says, I lay aside all the things that are back behind there. He says, I think on God. He says, I'm going to think on heaven. That's what I'm going to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, he tells the Corinthians, in 17 and 18, he says, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's how we compare it. That's a contrast. We're going through something here. We have a positive mental attitude because the things that we are striving for are so much weightier, so much grander, so much more glorious. We go through this small temporary affliction to get there. And when we have that attitude, we can go through all that stuff. If there's anyone on this earth that should have a positive attitude, it should be Christians. A Christian, based on everything that God has done for him, based on the life of a Christian, based on the promises of God, we should have a positive mental attitude. And it just surprises me that it doesn't always happen that way. For 2,000 years now, people have been becoming Christians and maintaining a negative attitude. We need to focus on heaven. Set our minds on those things which are above, Paul told the Colossians. Set it on those things which are above, not the things that are here in this world. Let me get to the conclusion. We have to have, with a positive attitude, we can continue to believe in God, regardless of what may happen to us, regardless of this momentary light affliction that comes to us, regardless of what kind of consequences we have for our own actions or for the evil of others, whatever we have to go through, we can still continue to believe in God. And in our ability to serve Him. We don't have to get depressed about how we can't do it. We just can't do it. We can do that with a positive mental. And we continue striving to do good. You forget about those things behind. Whether they're good or they're bad, you forget about them. That doesn't mean that you make the same mistakes over again. That means that they're not important anymore. You're focusing on heaven. You're not focusing on yesterday. You're continuing. You're striving to do that which is good. And we can also, with a positive mental attitude, Christian attitude, we can encourage others. Those round about us. We not only walk within a positive attitude toward God, but we also encourage those round about us. We overcome our negative attitudes. We overcome negative people who are round about us or any kind of circumstances, negative circumstances. They all come to every single one of us. You know, the difference between a Christian with a positive Christian attitude and one with a negative isn't that one of them is being persecuted by Satan and the other. They're both being persecuted by Satan. They're both being tempted. They both got circumstances that they need to overcome. They both have sicknesses or family members or something in their life that is dragging them down and trying to hold them back. The difference is not the circumstances or the people surrounding. The difference is that one of them has decided, I'm going to follow God regardless, and the other one has decided, I'm going to focus on the things of this world. That's the difference. We will ultimately reach our goal with God's help if we have the right attitude. Now, and so the question is, when making a choice, are you positive? Are you positive in the choice you make? Are you positive in the path you have chosen? think about these things. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, then you need to make that right first. You need to be baptized into Christ. God says He's already taken care of the hard stuff. He's already taken care of all the things that you can't do. And now He's offering you all that free of charge to you. Not that it didn't cost anything. It cost His Son His life. But He's offering it to you for free. God says, hear the word and believe. Repent of your sin and confess in the name of Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remain faithful until the end. You receive the crown of life. You want to make your life right with God? You want to walk with God? Do that. Do that first. Maybe you're already a Christian. You've sinned. You've repented. You've asked God for forgiveness. And you want us to pray for you to help you. We'd be glad to. But maybe you're going through some of these things, some of these circumstances that we talked about, trials and tribulations. You want us to pray for you for wisdom, for strength, for intervention. Any way that we can help you, we'll be glad to help you. If you will please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home.